Hello, and welcome to What's My Tagline? I'm your host, Carol Flagg. Thanks for tuning in. On this show, we put our microphone in front of a variety of industry experts to understand the factors influencing your messaging, branding, social, and online reputations in healthcare. You can follow the conversation on Twitter at hashtag What's My Tagline, and be sure to follow me at Carol Flagg. My guest today is Erica Graw, the Director of Marketing for Rhinogram, a leading telehealth company that offers a real-time text-based platform for patients. She's here with me to talk about patient communications in the smartphone world and to let us in on some strategies for communicating with my favorite generation, millennials. Erica, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. I'm excited about this topic, and I'll share perhaps a little later on why millennials are my favorite generation. But before we begin, my first conversation of all my guests is, if you had to describe yourself as a tagline, what would it be?
You know, I just couldn't resist based on what we're talking about today. So my tagline is, I'm the young gun of healthcare.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So in your organization, are you like, you know, sort of the average age? Are you a millennial, it sounds like?
Yes, I am a millennial. So we have kind of varying ages in the company, but yes, we're a young team.
Oh, good. And, you know, obviously, young gun, I mean, you kind of hear that a lot tied to that particular generation. I don't know what that stems from. You know, do you know the background for that particular phrase, or is it just been around longer than I think?
You know, I don't know the total history, but someone actually just reached out to me today for an interview, to interview me as, and they're calling the article Young Guns of Healthcare. Oh. So I was like, wow, it's all happening this week.
Kudos to you for being interviewed for an article. That's great.
Yeah.
So my young gun millennial, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into healthcare.
Yeah, so I got my degree actually from Arizona State University. Yeah, because you're in Arizona too, right?
Yeah, I'm a former Sun Devil. Hello. I know, right? I knew we were a match made in heaven.
I knew. I got my degree in journalism. So obviously I have a passion for writing, but mainly I love bringing some clarity. I know that, you know, healthcare, when you go to these websites, you go to these different companies, everyone kind of sounds the same. So I love to bring, you know, a little spin, a little edge to kind of an area that's so, you know, somewhat monotonous. You know, everything can sometimes be the same. So I started my career right off the bat in healthcare IT. So I specialized in content marketing, so writing for health systems, urgent cares, and ambulatory surgery centers. And so now I'm currently serving as the director of marketing for Rhinogram. So I manage all of our marketing communication and strategy to improve our position in the telehealth industry. So I'm definitely super passionate about healthcare IT, and I love being a part of companies that are really driving that change in healthcare.
Yeah. So that healthcare IT part of the healthcare ecosystem, if we want to say that word, you know, obviously. If you've been in the space since you graduated from with a journalism degree from ASU, you know, a lot has certainly happened in the last 5 to 10 years. I've been in the health IT space for 10 years, and you're right. There are, of course, you know, regulatory issues and compliance programs and things that are being driven by CMS and the ONC. But obviously, there's a lot of things that happen on the health IT side that are very exciting, right? You know, from a technology standpoint, that to me, feel very, I guess, Silicon Valley-ish, if you will.
Yes, I feel like, you know, we've always looked at healthcare as, you know, maybe a few step behind from, you know, other industries that we, you know, like Amazon, Netflix, all these, you know, these areas that are being fueled by consumerism. And I feel like finally, like, consumerism is here in healthcare right now.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. Were you at HIMSS this past year?
I was not, no.
It was really interesting. It was really, you know, you talk about that consumerism in healthcare, and certainly, you know, the healthcare IT space, you know, now, of course, you know, the Amazons, the Googles, the Ubers, you know, they're here in this space. And I think that it's going to materially change health IT and how perhaps even healthcare is delivered going forward. Do you agree?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny now that we're, you know, talking about millennials, we are the biggest generation. We make up 92 million people. So I think before there was, you know, people wanted it, but now I think there's a demand, which is the difference that's happening now.
Yeah. So the millennial generation is bigger now than the baby boomers.
It is.
Oh, wow. Yeah. The baby boomers are dying. You forget about that, right? Right. Well, you know, it was eventually going to happen, right?
Well, you know, that's the way the world works, right?
That is the circle of life, as they say. So, yeah, we are going to be talking about the millennials here in just a little bit. But before we do that, tell us a little bit about Rhinogram. Obviously, you've already said young company. Yeah, you know, I think it's young in the terms of, you know, it's born in the health IT decade, right? The last 10 years. So, or maybe not, but I think that's correct. But tell us a little bit about Rhinogram, what the company does, and as, you know, director of marketing, what your specific role is.
Yeah, so Rhinogram is an asynchronous telehealth platform. What we want to do is we want to make remote healthcare easy, simple, and reduce, you know, office interruptions for, you know, our customers. What makes us different than other companies out there is the patient never has to download an app or log into a portal. We often joke that we are the anti-portal.
It is an overused word sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. So any patient doesn't even have to hear the words Rhinogram, never has to download anything, and they're going to use just the regular texting on their phone. Another great differentiator for Rhinogram is we have a direct integration with Facebook Messenger. So any patient that maybe doesn't have access to a cell phone or to call their physician, they can log into their obviously free Facebook account and have a HIPAA compliant, secure conversation with their provider via Facebook Messenger.
Yeah. Okay. So you're a director of marketing. Obviously you are there to really talk about, obviously, from messaging and branding, that, you know, we are, as I said, a smartphone world, right? And that is the primary tool you guys use, correct, for communicating with the patient, your providers? Yeah. So so when you talk to physicians, I'm just curious, or you develop your marketing collateral for physicians, you know, what are you sort of leading with? Is it the fact that it is you don't have to download an app or register for a portal, or is that where that starts, that conversation?
Yeah, we see, you know, our customers love that their patients don't have to download an app or log into a portal, because for them, it means they're going to get that access to their patients, right? I think a lot of physicians struggle with portal adoptions. Not every patient's going to log in. And I know I'm young, but even I have several doctors, and you have several logins, several passwords to remember. And that becomes a burden for, you know, the patient and the physician now. So now you're relying solely on a phone call to get a hold of somebody when, you know, clearly, you know, a mobile device and texting is the way that patients want to communicate.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about, if you get, I read a stat in one of your white papers that's been like 9 out of 10 millennials actually have a smartphone, which actually doesn't obviously surprise anybody, I don't think. But there's a real connection between millennials and actually Gen Z too, their dependence, I guess, on this smartphone and what that impact is as far as how they would like to get their healthcare delivered or how they'd like to communicate their healthcare needs.
Yeah, there's another stat in that white paper that I just thought was so fascinating because I even find myself do it, but I think it's 96, you know, the poor complaints that people write reviews about. It's not about the provider's background or their education or, you know, qualifications or the treatment even. It's the service that they get. And I know even for me, if I go online and see that I could, you know, book an appointment online or, you know, send a text to my provider, I'm going to choose that place over, you know, the place next door, regardless of, you know, necessarily where they got their education or, you know, their background, which I think is completely, you know, fascinating.
So this does feel sort of generational, I suppose, in the sense that perhaps an older generation, they would care about that, where the doctor got their degree, you know, the reviews about the kind of care they got. I mean, I can see that certainly for myself and perhaps, you know, parents and all of that. And if I understand you correctly, what you're saying is for this smartphone dependent millennial generation, that it is really how fast, how quickly, when are you going to get back to me? And sort of this interface with their provider that is, in essence, in real time and instantaneous.
Exactly. They, you know, also it's interesting that millennials want access to their healthcare. You know, I've only grown up in a world where, you know, WebMD existed. So,
oh, yeah. Good point.
We want access. We want to be able to reach out, you know, when we're at home, when we're at work, when we're, you know, picking up, you know, our kids from school. We want to be able to have that quick conversation and not have to, you know, play phone tag for several days to get an answer. You know, if you could find that information out within 5 minutes, why wouldn't you?
Right. Well, and even just the idea of leaving a voicemail just doesn't compute, I think, right?
Oh, I know.
Why am I going to leave a voicemail?
That is interesting. And now I wouldn't say I'm like a typical millennial. I do leave voicemails, but many of the people, not necessarily a Renogram, but people that I've worked with, they don't leave voicemails. They'll call you and then they send you a text.
Right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to What's My Tagline? And my guest today is Erica Gaw, the Director of Marketing for Rhinogram. And we are talking about our smartphone world and patient communication with millennials. I told you at the start of the show that I would tell you why millennials are my favorite generation, as it so happens. All of my nieces and nephews are millennials. And I loved being an aunt to all of them, right? So I've got a, you know, long history with millennials, just personally with my nieces and nephews, and they are starting to have children. And I think it's the other thing too, when we think about the millennials and, you know, what the span of that generation, you know, which decades that includes, and millennials are starting to have kids, and of course, they have to take their kids to the doctors, right?
Yes. So we actually just partnered with a pediatrics practice in South Carolina, and it's interesting, a lot of the staff members there are millennials, and they actually use Rhinogram to not only schedule appointments for their children, but, you know, obviously they use it at work, which is very interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. So smartphones, millennials use them for everything, right? That, you know, Apple Watches, you know, the whole, you know, we're tied to it. Obviously, even in our cars now, we can get text alerts and hit a button and the, you know, our car will tell us what the person said in their text. I mean, it's ubiquitous. It's becoming part of our DNA, I think, for, you know, certainly, you know, starting to be part of the DNA for an older generation, but certainly the cultural DNA of millennials and of course you could argue the Gen Z. But talk a little bit, if you can, about the other side of it. You know, I know that you said providers like it because there's no education about how to obviously, you know, sign up for a portal or the process of putting a portal, or you have to download an app, as you said. But I'm sure they have concerns, right? I mean, and you know, what are those concerns? You know, is the doctor just going to get a random text while they're, you know, walking down the hallway of their practice? I mean, how, you know, walk us through a little bit what that looks like.
Right. So what's great about Rhinogram is we actually provision your office phone number. So the same number that you call your patients and your patients call you is now textable. And so...
Oh.
Yeah, so your patients already probably have you saved in your phone, so they're not going to be confused at who's texting them. And then for the provider side, it's a HIPAA compliant, secure, obviously, web-based application. So I can access it on my computer if I'm at the front desk. And also, if I'm a physician, I have a mobile app. So they never have to store any patient information on their personal device, but they can access it anytime. So if they're traveling or if they're coming in late to the office, all of these messages can be routed to the right person at the right time. So, for example, if there is a clinical question that comes in, that obviously, you know, we have a lot of customers that use Rhinogram to send, you know, perform virtual consults. So if that, you know, photo needs to be sent to, you know, the provider, that message can be routed to them, again, on their Rhinogram application, not on their cell phone. So again, none of that information is stored there, but they can respond at any time.
I see. Or, and I guess along with that, so could their office staff, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we also, whenever I talk to people, they like that. And, you know, our founder is a practicing orthodontist, and he is the type of guy who is going to respond to every single inquiry that comes in, even if he's on vacation, because that's just the kind of guy he is.
Right.
But I understand that not everyone's like that. So, you know, that is a concern that we always get when I talk to people, especially at trade shows. They're like, I don't want my patients to reach me at all.
Well, yeah, yeah. If it's an emergency, yeah, right. No, I understand. Yeah. And that's a concern. I think it's so interesting, you know, obviously this conversation around, and what we're talking about, I guess, from 30,000 feet up is this is that patient experience, patient engagement. I guess I think patient experience is now becoming more a popular term versus patient engagement. But that patient experience, you know, giving the patient the opportunity to communicate with a provider, you know, that is not just more efficient, I guess, but is what they're used to communicating with other people in their lives, right? That part of that patient experience is something that's critically important, of course, to the patient. And I wonder, you know, certainly that you just talked about it, there are providers out there where, you know, they just want to provide good care, right? And so they're not, you know, to have to like add in as a practice, oh, this whole patient experience of healthcare or consumerism of healthcare, you know, all the things that we talk about, you know, does it, and you make it easier for them to do that, but just from a conversation standpoint, you know, do you run across providers who say, you know, I just want to treat my patients and make them well?
Exactly. I think we can all agree that, you know, life happens. I'm sure, you know, I've scheduled doctor's appointments and then, you know, things happen outside of office hours where you need to then change that appointment. So even just the little things of sending that text and saying, hey, you know, Thursday actually isn't going to work for me. Can we look at times for next week? And if I could get, and knowing that I'm not going to necessarily reach someone right then and there if I'm sending this text at 10:30 at night, but knowing that I can deal with it again tomorrow and someone's going to see it first thing when they get into the office, I think it's just peace of mind for a lot of patients. And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, we're all patients, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people can relate to just the little things.
Yeah. So the physician practice and the staff and the providers, they have the app, and they obviously have some sort of portal that they log in just to see messages, but the patient side of it, it's seamless. They just send a text. So it's interesting, you know, just talking about this kind of technology. There's obviously a lot of studies out there that talk about how technology, specifically perhaps people will say EHR adoption, has led to, you know, technology is leading to physician burnout. But I think the argument here is that this is the kind of technology that might actually help that burnout, or certainly won't add to the burnout for those providers who feel that way with the sort of overwhelming technologies that they're now ingraining into their workflows and their practices, being ingrained in their workflows and practices.
Absolutely. I mean, we wanted to create, obviously this was created with the patient in mind, but this was created, you know, solely from, you know, a practicing, you know, physician. So I think it's great that it's user-friendly on both sides. So how can we create something that's both obviously HIPAA compliant and secure, and also, you know, user-friendly? And, you know, I think everyone could, you know, probably agree that some of these EHRs that are out there, they're a little cumbersome. They're not easy to filter, you know, the information. And it wasn't really designed to store that patient conversation. So we always often refer to Rhinogram as, you know, the patient communication record. So what is that conversation? And the ability to search that and go back into, you know, last year and see what were we talking with, you know, Julie about this time last year is something new that an EHR just can't do.
So believe it or not, Erica, we've only got a few minutes left for our conversation today. But before we sign off, look into your crystal ball and tell me what's next for you, Rhinogram, and where is telehealth headed?
Okay, so we are excited. We offer this webinar series called How to Grow Your Practice with Facebook. So we are about our third installment of this series. So that should launch mid-August. So we usually bring on one of our customers and kind of ask them a little Q&A of how they're using Facebook to market their practice, using Rhinogram as well. But how are they advertising on Facebook to, you know, not only engage with their current community, but also, you know, bring in new patients as well.
Oh, that's exciting. I gotta check that out. Can our listeners find it on your website?
Yes. If you go to rhinogram.com and click the resources tab, you can find our full library of all of our recorded webinars.
Great, great. Erica, it's been great talking with you today. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. You can learn more about Erica Grah and Rhinogram, as she said, on the website, www.rhinogram.com. And be sure to follow the company on Twitter at Rhinogram and, of course, on LinkedIn. You can share your thoughts or comments about this show on Twitter at hashtag What's My Tagline, or visit the program page on healthcarenowradio.com. You can also reach out to me on Twitter at Carol Flagg, or always shoot me an email at carol@healthcarenowradio.com. You can now listen to all the great programming on Healthcare Now Radio on your Amazon Echo or Google Home. Just ask your favorite assistant to play Healthcare Now Radio station. And of course, if you listen to the podcast of our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or whatever your favorite podcast channel is, be sure to like us and give us a rating. Until next time, I'm Carol Flagg, and I want to know, what's your tagline?